In this episode, I answer a question about giving food rewards when the horse becomes obsessed with the foods, stops focusing, and gets really frustrated. So here we go, episode 267 of Ask Karen Anything, Tricky Treats. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. All right, I am back here to answer another question that was submitted. I'm so appreciative of everybody who's taken the time to write me and to leave a comment on the post where I was asking for suggestions and for those of you who sent in a recording. So we've got a question today from somebody who's using positive reinforcement with her horse. And she's finding that her horse is getting kind of over-aroused, super focused on the treats and maybe more on the treats and less on what's required to get the treat. Anyway, so I think I'll just play the recording and let you hear the question. Then we'll get into my thoughts on the answer.
Hi, Karen. This is Lene Rogers. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm on podcast 166. So I know there's like 100 of them I haven't listened to. I've heard some on using treats and reward plus training, but I'm having some issues with maybe using too many treats. My horse gets almost frustrated sometimes trying to figure out how to get a treat. And then it's like he's not really focusing on what I want him to learn, but he's just focusing on how to get a treat. I use different kinds of treats and sizes of treats, and I'm careful with the timing of when I give him treats. Some days are really great. Some days he's too into the treats. So what am I missing? How do I address this? Also, you know, I think some days I might give him too many treats or use them too often, but if he does something really good and then I don't give him a treat, I feel bad. I feel like I tricked him and I don't want him to feel like he's been tricked. So how exactly do I address this issue with using treats? Thank you.
Okay, I have a feeling that many of you who are playing with positive reinforcement have come across this similar kind of questions. Maybe some of you don't play with positive reinforcement, but you've seen somebody else who does, and you've seen them with a horse like this. And when you watch this happen, it makes you think, ugh, I'm never going to do positive reinforcement because look at that horse. He's so frustrated and he's just mugging for food and blah, blah, blah. So I think it's really important to discuss this and never judge a technique based on when it's not working. So I use a very blended kind of method. I use positive reinforcement. I use pressure release. I've done podcast episodes about this. So positive reinforcement works. And in fact, many of the problems I see with it are because it works so well. It's easy to accidentally train things that you don't really want. So as with any technique we're using, we need to be super detailed about our cues, our timing, and to see how we can best communicate to our horse and help them calmly yet willingly find the right answers. But we also need to zoom out and sometimes look at the bigger picture to see if there are any other considerations that will set the horse up for a calmer, more valuable experience. So there's definitely some dials you can turn to improve things if your horse is getting overly aroused during positive reinforcement. Okay, so Lene paints a pretty good picture there of what's happening, right? I think we've all pictured this, and maybe a lot of us have experienced it. So when we, when she says about frustration, my mind goes to, you know, okay, what is he frustrated about? You know, and that's, I think horses do get frustrated, but it is kind of a human emotion. And we have to think, well, what, you know, what, why? Let's dial that back a little bit. Like, what's actually going on? So what could he be frustrated about? And it could be confusion, like he doesn't understand what he's supposed to be doing or what you're asking. It's not making enough sense to him. Like that can create a behavior that's like, I don't know, just give me the stuff, right? But it also could be, you know, showing up as frustration if the horse is actually doing what you trained him to do inadvertently, right? Because sometimes it works and we accidentally train things we didn't mean to train. So if that's the case, then he's maybe not confused. He's sure of himself. He's like, I just did this thing that gives me cookies and now I'm not getting cookies and you're not making sense, lady. Right. So then we have to, you know, we have to clarify in both ways. So we have to, if it's just simply confusion, if he's like, I have no idea what you're asking me to do, then we need to be better trainers and, you know, figure out how to clarify that. If it's something we accidentally train, then it's the same answer. We just have to, you know, that's always harder to retrain something. So we have to really step back and go, this is one of those zoom out moments and go, okay, how did that happen? And now what does he need to know instead? However, there also can be moments where the horse is just highly aroused for a number of reasons, right? And so they're just in this state and it's kind of frenetic and they're, ah, and so then they aren't really thinking, they're not calmly focused. And so maybe that's caused by the experience of this training session, but maybe it's caused by other things. So again, zoom out. So I think I'll talk about that first. How are we going to set up the situation? So one of the things you want to zoom out about is like, well, what was he doing right before you came along to train him? Was he in a situation like he's on a dry lot and he hasn't had hay for an hour and it's almost feeding time and then you want to do a little training with him right before, you know, feeding time? So, I mean, that's sort of an, you know, most horse people are kind of aware of the feeding time challenges. But sometimes we don't always think about that. I'm like, well, no, he's out. He's got, you know, slow feeder hay all day. But if you time it just so, maybe he's been out of hay for a half hour. And for some horses, that's enough for them to be like, hey, right? It's not bad for their health to go a half an hour without any food. But some personality types, you know, the food is more important to them. So bottom line is kind of zoom out and ask yourself, like, is he hungry? You know, is he just simply hungry and he's kind of in like food seeking mode anyway? And so then, you know, here come these treats and it just kind of gets aroused. And when you're feeding treats, you're feeding like one and then another one. And if he's hungry, it and you start to have this like scarcity thing of like, oh, just one cookie at a time, then they get into this like, oh my God, I got to get the food. Right. So it's a counterintuitive sometimes, but you want to just like feed them more. Like let them have a small serving of hay or something really low value, or if you time it right, let them have, if it's near his normal feeding time, let him have a meal or at least half of the meal or something. So bring him in, let him hang out in the stall or whatever the situation is, make this make sense for you. But you know, when you come to get him, you know, let them hang out and have some food for a little bit. Now, some horses can be turned out 24/7 on pasture, and they can still get highly aroused when you're doing a training session using positive reinforcement. So, so some of you, this is going to make sense. You're like, oh yeah, I never thought of that. Let them have some hay first. And others, you're like, oh no, he's been eating grass all day and he still gets like that. So anyway, if it's a dial you can turn it. All right, so what else can you do? You can use lower value treats. And I know, Lene, you said you have different kinds of treats, and I would definitely experiment with that. It does make a difference. So I have a variety of things that I might give my horses. I have some, I can't remember the brand name, but they're, you know, sold as like low sugar snacks, right? So they're probably, my horses think that they're good, but they're not like, they're like, yeah, thanks, you know, thanks for the piece of cheese on the cracker. You know, it's not a chocolate croissant, but you know, they're like, yeah, I'll eat that. And then I have, hay pellets, I have an alfalfa, Timothy alfalfa pellet, and those they tend to like those a little bit more. And then I have these, beet-based treats that do have a little molasses in them, and they kind of are in these little muffin things, and you can like rip off little tiny pieces of them. But those are my super high value treat, and it definitely makes a difference. And I definitely save those for better performances or when I really want to pay them well for something. So find, you know, it might be just handfuls of hay, you know, so experiment a little bit and think, how can you dial it down so that they're like, thanks for that, but they're not like, oh my God, I need to stick my face in that cake and lick all the frosting. Anyway, the other thing you can do is like, remember, a reinforcer is anything that the horse likes enough to work for it. That's my layman's definition of a reinforcer. They'll do something to get it. They want it. They'll move closer to it. You give it to them, you move it away, they will come over to get it. And that's how you can test it out. So you could use scratches instead. Like maybe it's not food at all. You can use scratches. You can use anything that the horse likes enough to feel like it's worth it to do something in order to get it. So I would definitely experiment with that and see if you can find something other than food that the horse really, really likes. When a horse is getting super aroused for whatever reason, you know, sometime, and they're not focusing, if they're not focusing and they're not looking at what you're asking them to do and they're just uber focused on something else, like sometimes you'll just have to say, like, this is not a valuable moment. It's not a valuable training moment. If you're trying to teach them something, they're probably not going to be learning what you want them to learn. If they're in this state, you can't just go, oh, well, they're in this state, I'm just going to keep trying. You have to, again, zoom out and be like, okay, wait, this isn't a great moment here. And sometimes just taking a break, walking away. And I'll often use the walk away. I'll be like, thank you. And I'll just walk down and do something else in the barn for a moment. Or I'll relocate the horse. Like if things are getting too intense over here, I might go, okay, let's do something else in a different location and just break that cycle. I might, you know, for me, I might do whatever things that cause calmness. Like I taught my horses to yawn. I might do a little body work. I'll just kind of chill the moment and break that cycle of high arousal. It's hard to come out of it once you're that far into it, especially if it's become a pattern. Now, technique-wise, you always want to start, when you're using positive reinforcement, with having a calm default feeding position, if you want to call it that. And there's some videos in the video classroom. I'll put the links in the show notes. And one of them is called Polite Boundaries Around Food, and where I take a bunch of horses out at Liberty in an arena, and I have a bucket of food, and I shake the bucket of food, and we practice calm default feeding position. So I set up a situation where most horses would be like, rah, let's compete and get the food. And I use that as an opportunity to be like, you need to stand back there and have a cute face and wait patiently. And that's what gets fed. And the other video two videos in the classroom you can go straight to, and I'll put the links to, is when I'm talking to somebody who is an equine behaviorist and she uses positive reinforcement, and she really teaches these first steps of how to, I think that it's titled like how to avoid the cookie monster. And what the very, very important first steps are to create the, you know, the position that gets fed. And that's the first thing you want to practice before using positive reinforcement. And so this calm default for horses, I like it a certain distance away, their head and neck on straight, slightly lowered. And that when I feed them, I was taught to do it, feed it with an extended arm away from your body. So the horse's head is on straight and you reach over and put the treat under their nose. So patiently waiting in that position is the feeding position. And you want to train that so that they know. And my young horse, Cora, came from the woman who's in the Cookie Monster videos teaching. And so when I got her, when she was a yearling, she had this behavior already. So she's much better at this than I am, because all my horses know it, but I kind of let it slide sometimes when they're cute, because, well, except for one, I don't have this high arousal thing. So it's really funny because sometimes I'll forget and Cora will do it and I'll be like, why is she staring over there? I'm like, oh yeah, she's in the calm default feeding position. And it's so cute. And if she starts to get a little nudgy, because I kind of like my horses nudgy, but that's just me and they're my horses. But if she gets a little too nudgy, all I have to do is shake the treat bag and she's like, oh yeah. And she goes back to calm default feeding position. So that's number one. You can reward, you know, what you want the end of this, that after you click and then you treat, like, what do you want that moment to look like? Cora, I also taught, because she's fairly, I'll use anthropomorphization. I didn't say that right. She's a little precocious. She's super smart and really wants to be, you know, with you and doing stuff. One of the first things that I, you know, said was a very important thing was that if I put my hand up to back up, and now she's kind of owns that, and she'll default do that. If I'm not paying attention to her, if she starts to be like, ooh, I want some cookies, you know, she'll go to default feeding position and she'll back up, which is a great behavior. So right in the moment she's feeling like, oh my God, I really want a cookie, she puts her head on straight, lowers it and backs up and gives me cute face. So anyway, so that is an absolute important first step, because then if they start showing you behaviors of frustration, they paw or they're coming too close or they're nudging your hand or whatever like that, then you can just go, oh, you know the answer to this. What do you need to do to get a cookie? And then they sit politely and do that. So whether they're actually calm or not, they might still be aroused, but at least they're acting and behaving like a calm horse, and that will always be safer and more pleasant to be around. So that's the one thing you want to definitely install. Now, if it's confusion, then, you know, it's the clarity of timing. It's breaking something down into smaller steps. I think it's really, really important, I think, to be super clear in your energy of what you like and don't like. I mean, their horses are always reading body language, they're assessing the timing of what's happening, and they're also reading our intentions. And I think when, you know, the positive reinforcement can end up attracting a lot of, like, academics and sciencey people for some reason, but there's still this feeling that goes with it. And the feeling of like, yes, you got it. At the same time, you do the bridge and then you give the cookie. Like, they're reading us. And the feeling of like, yes, you got it. Or, oop, almost, not quite. Or that was pretty good. Or, whoa, jackpot. Like, let yourself be super clear. Because sometimes I think we hold little bits of confusion in our bodies and in our intentions, but then we gave the click. So the horse is like, okay, I got the click, but my human doesn't seem real happy about it. Or, wow, she seemed really happy about that, but I didn't get a click. Like, I really, really think that that matters a lot. So I don't know, sometimes when you're teaching a horse, and especially if you're learning it, we're not always confident. So, but, you know, in that moment between you and your horse, get clear on what you're wanting from them. Make a small enough step that they can accomplish it easily enough, and just really match. Make sure you're so clear in your mind of what you're teaching that when they're doing it, they know when they're getting closer and they know when they've got it. And they also know when your energy is not flowing and you're like, still waiting for something. What else could you do? What else could you do? Right. And so I think the more you can look at your own confusions and see if you can say, okay, I don't know if this is technically correct, or if it's right or wrong, but I'm going to be clear in my mind of what my boundaries are and what I want you to do. I hope that makes sense. Intermediate bridges are really good for teaching. I use them a lot. The intermediate bridge is sort of the like, almost there, almost there. You're so close. It's a little bit like, you know, if in the warmer, colder game, it's like warmer, warmer, warmer. So the way I use it is right before they're about to get it, I will use it so that they understand that if they hear me doing that, that whatever they're sort of doing, keep doing, like keep going with that. Like you're almost there, you're about to get it. And for me, like I use the word good as the the terminal bridge. And I'll use yeah as the like, yeah, you're super close to go get it. And so that will, if they start to be confused, make your step smaller and start to introduce that so that if they get lost, it's easier to help them get on track or know when they're about to be successful instead of just sort of sitting there in silence like, oh, there, nope. You know, sometimes if you're only using positive reinforcement, horses need more information than that, right? So positive reinforcement just talks about what you do after they do the behavior. Positive reinforcement doesn't give them any clue as to what to do. And that's where a little guidance, little pressure, or you can use this intermediate bridge. Like when they start to look in the right direction and start to go there, yeah, good. And that's about how that'll sound when I use it. Okay. So the other thing that could be happening that I have a feeling might be the case in this case, because she talked about feeling bad if she doesn't give him a cookie, or feels like she's tricked him if she doesn't give him a cookie. So frustration can come up, or this state of, you know, behaviors happening that aren't necessarily calm and focused could happen if you've accidentally trained him that every time he does something, if he offers something, he's always going to get a treat. And so now he expects it, right? So you've trained something and then later he just does it without you even asking for it. And then he's like, I did it. And I've always gotten a treat when I do it. So now I need to get it. And now why aren't you? It's confusing to me because you're not giving me a treat. And I just did the thing that always gets me a treat. And this is where making sure you know what your cue is for the thing. And I think it's okay to not give a treat for something that you didn't ask for, even if it's something that you really, really wanted. Now, again, it depends, right? It depends on the horse and the thing. So if I've been training a behavior and maybe it's they've had a hard time learning it. And then out of the blue, you know, quote unquote, they offer it. I might be like, oh my God, you're a rock star. I'll click and treat it and I'll thank them for it. I'd be like, yes, that's the thing. But I'm also very mindful that I not only reinforced the behavior, but I reinforced them doing the behavior without me asking for it. But again, if I've been developing this behavior and then they suddenly offer it like that, I'll give myself the benefit of the doubt of like, maybe did I just do something that made him think that I asked for it? Right? So it's not a punishable offense to, in my mind, if a horse offer something that I didn't ask for. I'm always going to say, you know, my rule is if the horse willingly does something I don't think I asked for, you know, check my position, because maybe I did somehow get in that position and the horse thought it was a cue for it and then offered it. And for the sake of learning and his confidence, I might go, sure, you get a cookie for that. But I'm very aware that I just did that. Because I'm training two things, training the behavior, I'm training them to do it without me, with maybe without being asked to do it. But if your horse starts just doing stuff, doing behaviors that maybe you have taught him, it's okay to not give a treat for it. Even if he's like, look, I'm doing the thing, I'm a good boy. No matter how cute he is with that personality horse, if he's in that heightened arousal, that's again, zoom out and go, I might not want to reward all of that kind of behavior because I know on this horse what he's going to do with that. And so again, you don't have to punish the behavior, but what I might do is disengage my energy from him, right? So if I'm interacting with him and he starts just getting a little hyperactive and offering all this stuff and I'm like, this doesn't really feel good, I'll just take my energy away. This is probably a horse who wants engagement and wants attention. I might just go, oh, I'm going to walk away. I'll go wander down to the other end of the barn or put my attention on something else. I'll go clean my brushes for a second, you know, just kind of disconnect from it. So I'm not telling him no, I'm not telling him yes. I'm just like, it's not the conversation I'm having. You could take him and go to a different location, just like, you know, just kind of ignore it and be like, well, we're just going to walk over here now. You could also ask him to do something else unrelated to the thing he's thinking of. Again, you're not saying, no, don't do it. You're just like, well, here's what I would like. So that's something I could see you doing a lot. And as far as feeling bad, you don't have to feel bad. I mean, you could even, you know, let's see, do the like, that's nice. Give them, you know, that's nice. You could like in your energy be like, oh, good job, you know, or maybe don't say the G word, but be like, you're so cute. And, you know, have the energy that's not blocking him, but just change the conversation in some way. It's also okay to give it a treat. Like I just said earlier, like there's no rule about this. Just be aware of what you're teaching. So let's give an example. My horse Atomic, he's 23 now, but he was quite the fiery young man. He still is fiery in his mind, but he's just older and he has some injuries and stuff. So he's not quite as fiery in the outside. But when, and he has an amazing jambette and Spanish walk. Like I waited a long time to teach it to him because he's very bold and he used to be aggressive. And, you know, the first time I touched his leg, he was like, boom, his hoof was over his head, sort of, you know, almost, I exaggerated, but like, boom. And I thought, I have to be really careful that I don't teach this very bold, fiery, in your face, sometimes aggressive horse to use his front legs like that. So I had consciously been aware that like that will never get rewarded if he does that sort of thing with his front feet if I didn't ask for it. Because when I asked for it, I wanted to be in the position in a calm state and that he knew there was a cue for it. Now he's awesome. I mean, that's one of his best features. And still to this day, like, he's the one I always use to show, like, here's what it needs to look like. So he's really good with that. And I really didn't have a problem with him just offering it when I don't ask. So I did a good job on that one. But it was a very conscious choice to, no matter how cute he was and no matter how amazing it looked, it did not get rewarded if I hadn't asked for it. Now, there's other things that I taught him and my other horses, like Ovation. It was hard for him to learn Spanish walk and jambet. He's good at it, but it was hard for him to learn. And he's not an aggressive personality horse. So if he ever offered it when I didn't give a cue, it got rewarded because I had to kind of fluff that behavior up and I wanted him to err on the side of like thinking, hey, I'm going to do this thing, and it would be rewarded. But again, very consciously. So now my horses all have, I joke that it's like they all have cues for me to give them cookies. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. And so these are things that I taught them, and then I rewarded and I reinforced even if I didn't ask for them. So I put these in this category. They become cues for me to give them cookies. So smiling, where they lift their upper lip, they offer that all the time. It's my cue to give them a cookie. Like I said, Cora with the backing up, she'll back up like 3 steps and then she'll come forward and then she'll back up 3 steps. Like, that's cute. And so far it hasn't run into any trouble. So that will get a cookie. Yawning. I've taught my horses, a lot of my horses, to yawn. Why not? Yeah. It's a calming behavior. So if they get so aroused that they're trying to get cookies from me and they use yawning as a way to do that, great. Like I said, Ovation with the lifting his front legs. Ovation is very mouthy and he was always kind of like biting my clothing, and sometimes he would get a little skin. So I taught him a different behavior of something else to do with his mouth, and I taught him to lick. So Ovation will lick my face. Now, that's not necessarily good for a horse who's around other people, but it's fine for me. And so far he only licks my face. And I don't mind at all, because if he's going to come out up and pick something up with his mouth, I'd rather do something with his mouth. I'd rather him lick my face than bite. But again, very consciously. So I knew the first time he offered to lick without being asked, and I decided to reward it, I knew I was building this behavior that he could get, you know, a little excited about. And let's see, the other thing you can do with all of this, with a horse who's like super motivated, I mean, this is good news, he's super motivated and probably offering the stuff, is to practice stretching out how much they do before they get a cookie. So a really good example of this is I play catch or throw with a lot of my horses, and where they have this ball that they can pick up and then they toss it. And I'll often get several horses and they all play, we all sit there and throw the ball to each other. And Natia is so cute. And so she'll toss it. And at first, you know, they toss it once and you give them a cookie. You toss it again, you get a cookie. So for every toss, they get a cookie. Then I started getting particular about, well, what kind of toss? Like, it's got to go a certain distance and maybe it goes up in the air so I can catch it. So you can, you know, you can hold back the treat to say, well, show me something else. And a little bit of quote unquote frustration. It's not really frustration, but it's a little bit like, huh, why didn't that get a cookie? What else do I have to do? And so you can play with them and they start to learn of like, well, if this didn't get them a cookie, what else do I need to do? Let me try throwing it differently. And then boom, they get a cookie and they start going, okay, this is what I need to do. So you can really shape it by how you hold back the cookie, but I'm not just holding it back and going, you don't get it. I'm thinking, try something else, try something different. And sometimes just them throwing it in any kind of different way, then we'll get a cookie. So they start to know, oh, I got to try something else. Right? So a horse with a fast mind, you know, give them something else, progress the behavior. So, okay. So I got Natia to start to throw it a little higher so I could catch it on the fly while standing up. All right, so that was great. So we got that. And for me, that's all she needed to do, because with that, we can work with it. It's more fun to play catch with her. And so then she'd like throw it in the air. I would catch it. And then I was like, okay, well, I don't want to have to give you a cookie every time. Let's throw it a couple times. So, you know, she'd do one. And the first time I didn't treat her after that, she'd do the smile thing. She's like, hey, you're supposed to give me a cookie now. And I wouldn't. I'd be like, let's do two. And so she'd pick it up, throw it, look at me, pick it up, throw it. And then I'd give her a cookie. And then if I didn't give her a cookie after two, she'd go throw it once, throw it twice. She's looking at me. She does the smile move like, you're supposed to give me a cookie now. I go, how about we do three? All right. So right now she'll do about four. And then she really, really is like, hey, if she could put her hands on her hips, she would. She'd be like, I think I need to be paid for that. Right. So if I don't pay her enough, she'll just get like, ugh, this is not worth it. And she'll stop. If I feed her every single time, she's not going to progress or try anything else. And so what I've noticed is she starts throwing it, like she gets better at throwing it because she's like, oh, let's get to that third one. So she picks up and throws it really fast. I'm like, oh, this is cool, because now she's like more motivated, right? A variable reward system. We start not always rewarding each one, and we start to get a longer string of behavior. And then what I find with a lot of the horses, especially when they're playing with each other, at some point, they just are kind of having fun and they just play catch with each other. They pick it up, toss it. The other one picks it up, tosses it. And a lot of them just enjoy that so much that I just randomly give a treat somewhere along the way, especially if they did an especially good toss. But they're able to, like, the doing the behavior becomes satisfying. So that's not going to happen with every behavior, but it is possible. Anyway, so I hope, Lene, that gives you some things to think about, and everybody else listening, definitely some dials you can turn. But yeah, it takes some little bit of sitting down and going, what have I been doing and how could I change that? And like with everything in training, I think it's really valuable to sit back and go, what's my message to my horse? If you're clear on what's my message to my horse, then you can figure out how am I going to deliver that message. But often I see students not really taking the time to go, what am I trying to say? They're so busy thinking, what's the technique? What's the technique? You know, what am I supposed to do? It's like, well, what you're supposed to do is what the horse needs you to do. So anyway, I hope that helps. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.